Welcome to the April issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. This month's journal is a special issue on audio networking, complete with 5 papers and 2 engineering reports on the latest developments in the field. Edited by Richard Foss and Jeremy Cooperstock, this collection of papers includes coverage of topics such as wireless networking, quality of service, the open control architecture, and the AES64 standard for connection management and control. Christos Chausidis and his colleagues kick off by explaining that the current 802.11 standard for Wi-Fi networks has numerous defects that prevent its widespread adoption for professional live audio. This is despite it having sufficient bandwidth to handle multiple audio channels. They go on to show how augmenting the media access control algorithm enables a lot of the inherent problems to be addressed with dramatically improved performance. Juan Colmenares and a group of co-authors point out that efforts to ensure quality of service for audio networks often ignore the importance of the operating system running on associated computers. So they developed an experimental operating system called Tessellation, which was tailored to multi-core processors. Testing it under resource-intensive network audio applications, they were able to show how it could enable audio applications to meet time-critical requirements. The open control architecture is technically descended from the AES-24 scheme begun in the 1990s and is now the subject of Standards Project X210, explains Jeff Berryman. It's a proposed standard for control and monitoring of professional media networks rather than being intended to carry audio data, and it can be integrated with any streaming program transport control scheme that affords suitable connectivity. AES64, on the other hand, is an IP-based peer-to-peer network control protocol that integrates connection management and control across audio networks, says Richard Foss and his colleagues. It enables the streaming of all types of media content among devices from different manufacturers because it provides a common approach for device control. Hand in hand with the need for a standard control protocol goes the need for a standard audio device model that is independent of any particular technology. Andrew Ailes and Richard Foss show how such a model can be used in a self-configuring discovery and control environment, where devices push descriptions of their characteristics and implementations to controllers. An engineering report by Osedum Ingombor and Richard Foss discusses the translation of control commands between different sound control protocols that use the AVB suite of standards for audio-video bridging over Ethernet. One of the main requirements, for example, is to enable remote setting up and breaking of audio stream connections. The authors go on to demonstrate interoperability between AES64 and OSC-networked AVB devices, showing that when a proxy is used for connection management, it does not add perceivable delays. Finally, Thomas Reusner and his co-authors demonstrate a flexible means of exploring spatial audio algorithms using sound field synthesis, using a network that distributes multi-channel audio to 640 loudspeakers. Given the massive size of the loudspeaker array, a sophisticated system had to be developed for configuration, routing, control, and so forth, leading to a powerful tool for researching various presentation formats. In his feature article this month, Francis Rumsey goes into audio for acoustically challenged devices and the web. Increasingly, audio has to be optimized for devices that have inadequate transducers or very small size, as well as for delivery over the internet to mobile devices. Mobile devices now have very advanced signal processing and separate subsystems for handling audio, which have to be integrated optimally with a phone's application processor for optimum performance and power consumption. There's also the dawn of HTML5 for handling audio in a more universal fashion in web browsers. We find out what works and what doesn't, courtesy of 2 web audio experts that spoke at a recent AES convention. In our book reviews this issue, Tim Mello tells the story behind the recently published Acoustics, Sound Fields, and Transducers by himself and Leo Baranek, explaining how Baranek, who was initially reluctant to be involved with a new book intended as an updated version of his seminal acoustics textbook, eventually came to be closely involved and agreed to have his name on the cover. Umberto Nicolau also reviews Michael Williams' second part of Microphone Arrays for Stereo and Multi-Channel Sound Recording, in which the theoretical and psychoacoustical background is more thoroughly explained, as are the latest developments for 3D arrays. Finally, we say goodbye to two pioneering audio engineers in the obituary section. Bill Merrill was a pioneer in sound design for Broadway theater, who was instrumental in turning sound design into a credited design element, along with costume, lighting, and other elements. Frank Lyko, on the other hand, was a longtime Columbia Records engineer and one of the preeminent studio craftsmen of the last century, having worked with jazz greats such as Miles Davis and Thelonious Monk. Frank was one of the all-time great mixers, no question about it, producer and engineer Roy Haley, a colleague of Lyko's at Columbia. Find all this and much more in the April issue of the AES Journal, available today on the AES website at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.